20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks, as always, for being here. We are today going to be going over the most overrated and underrated Green Bay Packers on the current roster, according to me. Yeah, I get it. It's not the be-all, end-all, of course. And this is just players that I'm currently higher on than maybe some around the Packers sphere, some that I'm lower on. And we're going to go over exactly why I feel that way today. But I think this is always just kind of one of those interesting off-season conversations. Would love to know from you guys. Who are your players that you think are on this roster that get maybe too much credit? Or maybe ones that don't get enough credit or don't get the credit that they deserve. Could be a coach, could be a player. Love to hear from you guys. So hit me up in the comments below. Before we get into today's show, first of all, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Pascal, Nicholas Miles, JP, Chris Esau, Grable424, Eddie Petsky, Brandon V, TJR, Kevin Goldfarb, Michael C, and Brian Ellis. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Also, we had one piece of news and notes from a Packers standpoint on Friday. Apparently, the Packers did have some level of interest in Damon Arnette, the former first-round corner from the Raiders, who was most recently in the UFL, sort of trying to revitalize his career, had a really nice showing in the UFL, had some interest from the Texans, who ultimately signed him to a one-year vet minimum deal, from the San Francisco 49ers, and apparently the Green Bay Packers as well. Unknown just how serious the Packers were in their interest. Whether it was just, hey, we'd like to have you come try out, or if they wanted to sign him to a one-year vet minimum. Either way, he ends up in Houston. It did look like Green Bay, again, apparently had some level of interest, and understandably so with their cornerback room right now. They could definitely use a little bit more depth there, and having a former first-round pick who has some upside that you get for a one-year vet minimum, never a bad idea, but unfortunately for Green Bay, again, depending on the level of interest that they might have had, he ends up as a member of the Houston Texans. All right, without further ado, let's get into my overrated and underrated players. They're not any real specific order. I think I kind of went positionally-ish. I have 8 players that I have in the overrated category, 12 players in the underrated category. And again, would love to hear from you. Which ones do you think I am wrong on? Which ones do you think I'm right on? And again, more importantly, what would you guys put as your overrated and underrated Packers currently? I'm going to start with an underrated player. And that player is Romeo Doubs. I think this is an interesting one to discuss because I think for the most part, people do believe that Romeo is a good wide receiver. I think a lot of people, myself included, expect that he probably will not be a Green Bay Packer in 2026. Don't think it's impossible that he could resign. As I've talked about in the past, I think his best avenue to make the team in 2026 with a long-term deal would be to become Jordan Love's unequivocal go-to target in first, you know, key third down situations, red zone situations, etc., which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility at all. I do think that Romeo and Jordan do have a little bit more of that sort of quarterback wide receiver ESP that happens from time to time. Nowhere near the level of Rodgers and Nelson or Rodgers and Devontae. I don't even know if it would have been like Rodgers and Jennings, but I do think of the wide receivers on this roster, he does have a little bit of that connection with Romeo Doubs. I do think in some big time situations, he will throw either a ball up to Romeo Doubs or kind of trust him to be exactly where he expects him to be. More importantly, I just think Doubs is a really good, sound, solid wide receiver. Had a 73.6 PFF grade in 2023, including a year where he had 59 catches for 674 yards, 8 touchdowns, including, or not even including, I should say, a 6-catch, 151-yard performance against the Dallas Cowboys that included a touchdown in that playoff game just a couple years ago. In that playoff run against Dallas and San Francisco, Romeo Doubs was the go-to target. Now I get there are multiple things at play here, including the depth at wide receiver, Romeo's concussion history, the one-game suspension from a year ago, you know, him being disappointed in his overall amount of targets and his usefulness in the offense. I understand all of those things. I also understand that I think in order for the Packers to be the best versions of themselves, they're going to need Romeo Doubs, and they're going to need him playing at a high level this year. And I see Romeo in practice. I see him locked in. I see him wanting to be a true difference maker and playmaker on this team. Like I said, I do think he works very well with Jordan Love, and I expect him to have a really big season in Green Bay, at least as big as you can have in a group of weapons that is as deep as Green Bay's is. I'm not expecting him to have 90 catches for 1,812 touchdowns or anything like that. But I think he could be, you know, 65 catches, 800 yards, six touchdowns, something like that. And I expect him to have a very solid season for Green Bay. And like I said, I think this team is better when Romeo is going well. So this idea that maybe Romeo is, you know, too injured or is not worth having on the team, or you're better to get a draft pick now before he leaves in free agency, I just don't necessarily agree with that. I think if you do end up trading away Romeo Doubs either before the start of the season or at the trade deadline, especially now, though, you just end up with a wide receiver room that starts getting very thin very fast. Even though it looks like the depth is great, you've got Wicks and Reed. Wicks coming off definitely a tough year last year, and Reed coming off a tough second half of the season. Then you have two rookies where you don't know what you're going to expect, and you're not really counting on Melton or Hardman or Heath to be anything of real substance this upcoming year. And Christian Watson's still out injured. So to me, I still want Romeo Doubs on this team for this upcoming season. I think he's a really good wide receiver. I think Green Bay's better with him. And I think he's getting a little bit underrated by the Packers Nation right now at wide receiver. I'm going to stick at wide receiver for another underrated one. That is Jaden Reed. I understand that Jaden Reed, for whatever reason, injuries or other, hit a little bit of a wall in the second half of last season. Even with that second half of the season lull, he was PFF's 50th graded wide receiver, which is still a good number two wide receiver, right? You have 32 number ones, and then that would be your 18th number two wide receiver, even in a year where he was very disappointing in the second half of the year. He still had a plus 8.75 grade for me on offense this past year, in large part due to what he was doing in the first half of the season, including an epic game against Philly in Brazil to start the first week of the season this past year. And what we saw from Jaden Reed the first year and the first half of the second year was fantastic. I mean, he was really trending to become, I think, what would basically equate to a number one wide receiver. Is he that maybe go-to in certain situations? Is he limited maybe by the positions he's playing on the field? Sure, to some extent, but his still overall value and what he was bringing to the team was that of what I would consider, if not a number one wide receiver, darn near close to it. I don't know exactly the reason why Jaden had a little bit of a shutdown in the second half of last season and why he wasn't performing the way that we saw over the first year and a half. I would expect that injuries played some part in it, but I have no doubt that Jaden Reed is still an absolute stud, that he's perfect fit for Matt LaFleur's offense, and that he's going to be set up for a fantastic 2025 campaign. I think this is a legitimately great wide receiver, and I think we're underselling his ability and his usefulness in this offense. So for me, big time playmaker, big time player, get the ball in his hands, take him off the punt return team, maybe do a little bit less gadget stuff with him, let him focus at wide receiver. And I think he's going to be in for, again, a really big season. Again, as well as you can do in a group that has a ton of different options, but I still think he's going to have a great season this upcoming year, more akin to what we saw in year one in the first half of year two. Next up, I'm staying at the same position and I have an overrated player, and that is Malik Heath. There is always this hive of people, it seems like, that are really high on bizarro players. Juwan Winfrey was the most perfect example of this. There was sometimes I am this hive as well, whether it be Tim Boyle or others. I've been there. I'm guilty of it just as much. But there seems to be this interesting group of dynamic people that are very interested in Malik Heath. Now, listen, I like Malik Heath. I think he's a good, solid number five, number six wide receiver. Can be that on any team, all right? I just don't think there's anything above and beyond that. And when you get into year three, and when you have a room that is stacking up to be a very deep wide receiver room, so much so that when Christian Watson comes back, you have Watson, Reed, Doubs, Wicks, Hardman, Golden, and Savion Williams as your top six. Again, how you get spots or anything for Mecole Hardman or Malik Heath or Bo Melton after that, is it just gets really, really difficult. That's not even including the tight ends or the running backs. So I think Malik Heath's opportunity to make the team pretty low at the moment. And that's not even a disrespect to Malik Heath, who, again, I think is more than worthy of being a number five or number six wide receiver. It's just, you have five guys that are locks already. You have Christian Watson coming back at some point. And I just think that both Bo Melton and Mecole Hardman have a little bit more that they bring to the table at this point in time than Malik does. So I would love if they could find a way to get Malik back in the practice squad, I would be thrilled. I would love to keep him in the fold in some capacity. If he is somebody that you need to call up for any given game, I am confident in putting him out there. I'm not even against him potentially being, if you have three good wide receivers, I think he can be your fourth. I think he can be that level of player. But there seems to be this, again, group that is either over-exaggerating it or thinking that he is a lock to make the team or anything like that. And I'm just pretty far away from that at this point. And again, I think he might be on a wide receiver, not even including Christian Watson right now. I think he's probably the eighth wide receiver on this team. And I think he does have a little bit of an uphill climb to any sort of 53-man roster spot at the moment. Impossible? No. Is he worthy of it? Sure. No question. I think he is. But on this team with this depth chart, to me, he's probably right around number eight at the moment. And that's not, again, even including Christian Watson. Four, we're sticking at the same position again, and I'm going overrated on this one, and that's Mecole Hardman. Now, I really like what Mecole Hardman's done since he's come to Green Bay so far in very limited action in OTAs and minicamp. So again, take that for whatever it's worth. I do think that he's an interesting player. I liked his tape. Go back and listen to my episode the other day. I didn't think KC did a great job of utilizing him. I thought he was better than what he got the opportunity to do in Kansas City a year ago, and certainly than any opportunity he got with the Jets a couple years ago. So this is a player that I, again, legitimately like. I think he's a good player, but there seems to be this hype around Mecole Hardman again. And let me just tell you this. Over the last 3 years combined, Mecole Hardman has 27 catches for 214 yards and zero touchdowns. If I told you that, like, any of the other receivers that the Packers have already had over a 3 year period of time had 27 for 214 and zero touchdowns, like, we're not even talking about like somebody who has at least a game breaking, you know, speed here that's getting those big plays down the field. If it was like 27 catches, but like for 400, 500 yards where he was getting those big plays, we're averaging less than, you know, well less than 10 yards per catch here on 27 for 214. So he hasn't even been that game breaker performer. He barely, I mean, we're talking 9 catches per year, 70 yards per year, and no touchdowns per year over a 3 year period of time. So again, my point being here is not that I don't like Mecole Hardman, not that I don't think he was a worthwhile pickup, not that he couldn't end up being a really solid punt returner for Green Bay and might be the best punt returner on the roster. And I think there's more meat on that bone than what he showed over the last 3 years in KC and New York. So I like him. Don't get me wrong. I just think we need to pump the brakes a little bit. And if you're expecting anything more than, you know, a handful of catches and some yards here and there from Mecole Hardman, probably foolhardy based on the last three seasons that he's put on tape for, but again, both KC and New York these past 3 years. Number five, we're going underrated, and I'm going Aaron Banks here. And again, it's a little bit maybe difficult to put somebody in the underrated category when they haven't even been really out there on a regular season snap yet. And he was also missing for what, one or two of the days in minicamp. But let me put it this way. I think there's this immediate gut reaction to a 4 year, $77 million deal for Aaron Banks. That's just disappointing. It's meh. It doesn't feel great. I get that. I understand that. I really, truly do. 4 years, 77 for a solid but unspectacular guard. That's a contract. That's a big contract. And I don't know that that's the way that I would have utilized that resource. We've talked about it. Josh Sweat basically got the same deal. If you could have asked me, you know, let's take, I really like Baron Sorrell, by the way. So this isn't any sort of indictment or commentary on Baron Sorrell. But in general, you said I could have either had Josh Sweat at 4 years, 77, and then a fourth round guard, or Aaron Banks at 4 years, 77, and a fourth round defensive end. I'm pretty certain I'm going to take Josh Sweat in the fourth round, a guard in that scenario, rather than the other way around. So I understand all of that commentary. I get it wholeheartedly. But what I think we can lose sometimes is just the fact that Aaron Banks is a good guard. And I think he's really going to help this team. We've talked about it's a huge upgrade from Josh Myers and where this team was at. And just above and beyond that, what I saw in the first seven, eight games from Aaron Banks this past year was a legitimately really good guard. Like, had me at that point when I got done grading those first, I think it was seven games, maybe it was eight, but like legitimately really excited. I'm like, oh, they found something here. And it plateaued, wasn't as good the remainder of the year. I think injuries played a part in that. But if they get that Aaron Banks, legitimately, I think the 4 year 77 pays for itself. I really do. I think he can live up to that contract. I don't think this is a foregone conclusion where he's a fine player, but just can't live up to that contract. I think he can. It's up to him. I think he has the ability and the talent. I was really high on him coming out of Notre Dame in college. I thought he was appropriately selected in the second round. I thought he's been up and down in San Fran, which is again, kind of what we saw this past year. But if you can get that upside of it, I do think he has the ability to be there. And even if you don't, this is a good starting offensive lineman. They're hard to find. Did they overpay in that situation? Yes. But am I still glad that he's on the roster? I am. And I think that can sometimes get lost when you see just the dollars and cents of it, right? And I think we have to be real in the fact that I hear all the time, well, it's not your money. Why do you care? It's not my money, but it is my team's use of valuable resources. And you only get a finite amount of those resources to spend, and you only get a finite amount of those draft picks to utilize, right? So when I hear all the time, well, it's not your money. Why do you care? I don't care who ends up with the dollars in their checking account. Kudos to Aaron Banks. Go get your money, my friend. That I don't care about at all. What I do care about is how Green Bay, the team that I love, utilizes their resources to the best of their ability because they are finite. So I understand that, but to me, they went out, got a good player, and I'm excited that Aaron Banks is on this team. We'll be right back. My next one's probably going to be my most controversial one. Overrated. Offensive line. I'm going with Zach Tom. Okay. Hold on. Let me put the very obvious caveat to I love Zach Tom. He's one of my favorite players on the team. Okay. I think he is a really good offensive lineman. I think his five position versatility, even though we don't really get to see it just because he's a really good right tackle, is still one of the coolest things in the NFL. The fact that I legitimately believe you could put Zach Tom at any of the five spots on the line and he would just be really good at it is pretty freaking remarkable. What I will say is I think there is this idea that Zach Tom is maybe in like the David Bakhtiari category, like prime David Bakhtiari category, or, you know, insert whatever, you know, high level, all pro caliber offensive lineman that Green Bay's had. And I can't quite get there. I think Zach Tom is one of the best offensive linemen in the league. No question about it. I think when you start talking about being the best of the best or all pro caliber or anything like that, I can't quite get there with Zach Tom. I do think there are some things that he just doesn't have. I do think there, when he goes against some of the best at edge rusher, which is again, most offensive linemen, right? But I do think there are some struggles from time to time. I don't think he always anchors the best, and he's not a mover in the run game. He's a really good run blocker still. He finds ways to win, even if he can't move somebody ridiculously off their spot. But there are some limitations to his overall game, which puts a ceiling on what he can ultimately be as a player. I'll say one more time. There are very few offensive linemen I'd rather have on my team than Zach Tom. Period, end of story. He's a great Packer, a great NFL player, and probably should be, I mean, at least in the conversation for like the NFL 100 and like, it's still being talked about extremely well for what he's able to do. And there are sometimes, I think, on the national level that Zach Tom actually might be a little bit underrated, where he doesn't get the credit that he deserves at that level. I remember listening to the Athletic Football Show, and they were talking about, like, is Zach Tom going to get, like, this mid-tier contract? It wasn't like a mid-tier, but it was, like, not a high level. I'm like, he's going to get paid, guys. Like, he's going to get legitimately paid as one of the, again, best offensive linemen in football, and deservedly so. But I think from a Packers fan standpoint, I think there's a slight overrating of his high-end ability, which is great, but maybe not exceptional to that level of a first or second team all-pro. I just think there's a few guys that would still be ahead of him at that position right now. Still love him. Still absolutely love him. So glad that he's a Green Bay Packer. Underrated. Next up is Jordan Morgan. This is another one where I think people are blinded by the draft capital spent rather than the player that he is. I was one that did not want Jordan Morgan in the first round last year. I don't even know that I have in mind who I wanted. Maybe Tyler Guyton, who also did not have a great year this past year. But I think there were some thoughts of, you know, not wanting him in the first, maybe being more of a second round pick, and therefore, you know, immediately not liking the pick. And then I think for some people that carries over into almost to the point of like rooting against them to prove your priors. I get that the pick for Jordan Morgan was a little bit rich at that point, in my opinion. I also just think that, I mean, I think I had an early second round grade on him. He to me was a very talented offensive line prospect that has a bunch of versatility. He can play multiple different spots. And I think it's just going to be a really good starter in this league. I've already liked what I've seen in OTAs and minicamps. And when he got on the field last year, banged up as it might've been, I didn't think he was great or maybe even good, but I thought he was solid. And as a rookie coming in, playing a different position that you did in college, just to even be like serviceable and solid in your rookie year is usually half the battle in and of itself. And I do expect him to take a pretty solid step this upcoming year. So I get that maybe, again, the draft capital spent wasn't the most ideal. Still very happy that Jordan Morgan's on this team. And I'm less concerned of whether or not he's a starter this year or rotational player or just like the number six guy. They're going to need him this year. And when he's called upon, I think he's going to go out and have a really nice season. I really do. I think he's a good offensive lineman. I think he's a little bit slept on right now. And I expect him to go out and perform at a pretty high level once he gets out there and actually gets his feet underneath him, is actually able to string together some games and play a little bit more consistently. Next up in my underrated category are two players, Rashid Walker and Sean Ryan. And in this one, I'm not talking about Packers fans. I'm talking about the Green Bay Packers, who seemingly continuously sleep on Rashid Walker and Sean Ryan. It's crazy to me. I had to sit through 2 years of hearing how, Josh Myers was playing the best football of his career when he was not playing well at all. And Rashid Walker and Sean Ryan out there playing good football. And all I kept hearing is like, yeah, they got to be more consistent. They got to improve. We're going to go take Jordan Morgan in the first round, Anthony Belton in the second round, try to replace these guys by any means necessary. It's like, these are good football players that I really like out there. I think for the most part, a lot of Packers fans are on the same page of like, yeah, these have been two solid players for Green Bay. I'm not saying you can't improve. I'm not saying you can get better. I'm not saying that they're shut down left tackle and right guard respectively, but I think they're good. I think they're starting caliber players. It just feels like Green Bay, the actual organization, the team is maybe sleeping on these two a little bit. Underrated. Going to the defensive side of the ball now. I got to go with Rashawn Gary. This is another one where we are blinded by dollars and cents. Has he quite lived up to that contract so far? No, I don't think he has. I think that's a fair critique to make. If you're going to get paid that much, you want to get paid. You want to see the return on your investment. Do I think that specifically this past year, when there was no injury and, he was set to be the top guy in that defensive line, do I think this past year was disappointing? I do think it was a little bit disappointing. I really do. That being said, he had 49 pressures this past year, 15 more than anybody else on the team. He was the third highest graded player on the defensive side of the ball for Green Bay. Minimum 400 snaps. We're not counting some players for PFF that barely played, but minimum 400 snaps was the third highest graded player for PFF, was my third highest graded player on defense, period, and was still a very sound, very talented player for the Packers this past year. So two different conversations. Lived up to expectations of the contract and what you would hopefully expect for him at this point of his career, being one of the best defensive ends in football? No, not to that level. Still one of the top three defensive players on the team, the best pass rusher on the team, the pass rusher that garnered the most attention from the opposing team. Absolutely. And he took a significant step as a run defender this past year. So again, I feel like there's still a lot of like Rashawn Gary, like hate and vitriol, and I don't understand it quite. Again, I understand that he's maybe not quite living up to the contract, but still very talented player. And that's a player that you want on your team. Just maybe not quite at that contract, but even then the contract's not that far off. And I don't think Green Bay is like very disappointed right now that they have Rashawn Gary at that contract. I think they're very happy that he's on the team, but hopefully we see a better version of Rashawn Gary, one that gets back to that 80 plus pressure season that he had. I think it was 2021 or right around there when he was playing at a very high level. Underrated, same position. I'm going LVN here. This is going to be maybe my toughest one to define. There is zero question that LVN has been a bust so far. Not willing to give up on him, but through 2 years, it is not even close. Spending a top 15 pick and getting that in return is pretty brutal. There's no question about that. I've seen the takes of cut him, get rid of him. I don't want him on the team. May I just remind you that that's what was said after year two of Devontae Adams. That's what was said after, you could have looked at like your first 2 years of Trey Hendrickson, and LVN's in a very similar spot of the first 2 years of Trey Hendrickson. Rashawn Gary didn't do much in his first 2 years as a pro. These things for different players take time. And I get that sucks. And I get it's frustrating when you spend a top 15 pick on the player. Should you have to wait? No. Would I have rather had Christian Gonzalez at that pick a million times over? Not even in hindsight at the time. But this is still a player that I think can help you win football games. I think he can be, at worst, a third or fourth edge rusher on pretty much any team in the NFL. Not your top guy, not your second guy, maybe not even your third guy, but pretty much every team would take LVN as their fourth edge rusher, I think, at this point in time, especially just with the upside that's still there. I'm not expecting a significant breakout from LVN. I think he'll be better. I really do. I think he can get into the high 30s, low 40s, maybe in pressures this year, which would be a big step from, I think, 22 this past year. But he's going to have to go out and prove it. He's going to have to be better. And I don't have a lot of faith that he's going to live up. And this is not any breaking news. I'm not very, you know, faithful at the moment that he's going to live up to that first round pick and where they selected him, right? I just don't think it's going to happen. I hope I'm wrong. But I still think that he is a serviceable football player. And it's not one that you get on the field and I'm just like, oh God, LVN's out on the field. He's fine. He's fine. He can play. It's just, that's not what you drafted him to do. You weren't drafting him to be a third or fourth edge rusher. You were drafting him to be a big time impact player at that spot. And he has been very far from that. So very disappointing, but I actually think from the people that are asking to cut him or giving up on him entirely, I think he's actually a bit underrated from that regard. Overrated, same position, Kingsley Enagbare. Negative 1.85 grade for me for Enagbare this past year. Negative 1.45 worse than where I had LVN this past year. He had that really nice game against Tennessee. I think he was unblocked in the play, but a big forced fumble. And, you know, or maybe it was just a really clean spin move against Petit Frere, who was a terrible offensive tackle. Just got cut from San Francisco before he even played a snap. So, you know, he's had a couple moments here or there, but I thought on the whole, he might have been their worst defensive end this past year. I don't think he carried over into the 4-3 very well. And I just think, like, at this point in time, you kind of know what you get with Enagbare. And plus, he went up to $3 million. This is one where I thought Brenton Cox outplayed him. I thought LVN outplayed him. To me, I was like closer to like Aaron Mosby than anyone else for Enagbare this past year. So I think there's just this idea that he's just a good starter. You can put him out there at any time. I didn't see it that way. I thought it was a very disappointing year for Enagbare, and he just seems to get a clean pass for some reason. And I'm not entirely sure why. Again, I think this is what you have to sort of check expectations at the door sometimes. I get there's less pressure on Enagbare because he was a fifth round pick. And so it's house money. If you get anything, great. And LVN has all the pressure in the world because he was a top 15 pick. Totally understand that. But at some point, just record, for me, at least, I get PFF had Enagbare a little bit better than LVN, not by a ton. But for me, I thought LVN had a better year than Enagbare, but LVN is much hated and Enagbare is like, whatever, free pass. And to me, I'll just take LVN in that battle and I'll take Brenton Cox in that battle. So I think Enagbare a little bit overrated at this point in time. We'll be right back. Next up on my overrated list is Devontae Wyatt. This isn't due to talent. And again, this is another one where is he going to live up to the first round pick at this point? It seems a little bit less likely, right? But I thought he played good football when he's out on the field. But I'm sorry, if you're going to be one of the better players and now getting your fifth year option picked up at a significant cost, you better play more than 366 snaps, which is all Devontae Wyatt played this past year. 366 snaps, 15 games. So it's not like he played 366 snaps, but he always like, well, he was hurt. He only played in 8 or 9 games. He played in 15, played less than 400 snaps. Dude, you got to play. And I don't even know that's necessarily his fault, by the way, that's what the rotation was. I'm hoping DeMarcus Covington gets him out there a little bit more. But if you want to be, you know, or even close to living up to the first round expectations and you want to live up to that now fifth year option that's guaranteed that they just gave him, you got to get out on the field. I need to see more of just Devontae Wyatt on the field in 2025, hopefully playing at a high level as well. Underrated, number 13 on my list here, Edgerrin Cooper. I know he's good. However good you think he is, he's better. And I think he's going to be even better than that. I'm just very bullish on him. I think he's going to be an absolute stud. I said it a couple of times recently. Maybe these are episodes that I haven't released yet because of the recording in advance. I think he can be in the conversation for best linebacker in football. Maybe not quite this year, but it wouldn't surprise me. Maybe by 2026 for sure. I think he's that good. I think he's that talented. I think he's that fast. I think he's that special. And I think you're going to see him continue to progress and play at an extremely high level starting this year and moving forward. Absolute stud, potential all pro, and cannot wait to watch him play in 2025. Overrated? Isaiah Simmons. I really like what they're doing with him. Very fun player. Think he has an opportunity to unlock himself a little bit in Jeff Hafley's defense. Let me just say, rule of thumb, during his time in New York and Arizona so far, you don't really want him on the field on defense all that much. A couple plays here, there, blitzing, quarterback spy. Absolutely, you can get away with some of that stuff. But he hasn't been good on defense. He's been good on special teams, and I'm very excited about him as a special teams player. But I see him, you know, getting out there in minicamp, and people are excited. Isaiah Simmons breakout, we saw it with, you know, Devondre Campbell in his first year. Is there something like that that could be there? Sure, maybe, possibly. But let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's see if he makes the team first. And then from there, let's see if he can be a special team stud. From there, let's see if he gets on the field. And if so, what he can do. But I would just pump the brakes a little bit and say, over the course of his career so far, he is not a player that you generally want on defense a ton. Underrated at linebacker, Tyron Hopper. It's a tough one to defend because he didn't play last year and he was a third round pick. I know Justice is a, you know, Tyron Hopper hater number one. I did not like that pick in the third round last year. I did not. I would not have done that. He, to me, was more of like a fifth round pick. But I understand the selection. It is very hard to find traditional middle linebacker, base down linebackers, guys who can run and tackle, cover. And Tyron Hopper's not there yet, but he has all the tools and traits needed to be able to do that. So I think you're taking a flyer on him that you can make him into that when it's just hard to find those guys in college football right now. And I actually like some of the stuff I saw on tape in preseason this past year and in training camp this past year. He got an opportunity in OTAs and minicamps. He looked very fast. And I think special teams is going to be his forte first and foremost. But here's my little bit of a bold prediction. I think you're going to be talking about Tyron Hopper a lot in preseason. I think he's going to make some plays. I think he's going to get a lot of playing time. I think he's going to have a really good training camp in preseason to the point where Isaiah McDuffie might be out there a lot in three linebacker sets. And I think there's going to be some calls for Tyron Hopper to take his spot at some point this year. Just put a pin in that one. Underrated. I'm going the three corners, Hobbs, Valentine, and Nixon. Actually, I'm going to do both. I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth because it's a skill that I have. I'm going to say overrated and underrated. I think the Green Bay Packers are overrating this trio a little bit. I think just leaning on these three without having anything really else to maybe get you out of jail free in case one of these players struggles or as a whole, it doesn't go well, I think is a little bit foolhardy. I think only spending a seventh round pick on Micah Robinson and not really bringing in any sort of depth, I think that's a mistake. I think that is the Packers as an organization overrating that trio. I think the level of panic that exists in Packers Nation that these guys are going to be the Achilles heel, the weak link, we're screwed. I think that's way overblown. I think they're going to be fine. I would prefer to be good. And I think a lot of Packers fans would as well. I think they'll be fine, maybe bordering on good. I don't think there's any chance that they can be great. And I think that you are an injury away to a Nate Hobbs who has been injured over his 3 year or 4 year career in the NFL. I think you are an injury away from it being really worrisome and troublesome. So I understand the angst and anxiety. I'm not to that level of panic, but I also think the Packers are overrating that trio just a little bit. Overrated, I'm going Kalen King. This was a late seventh round pick on a year where pretty much everyone said the sixth and seventh round picks are basically undrafted free agents in most drafts, and they cut him. And then when they cut him, they put him back in the practice squad, brought Kamal Haddon on the practice squad, who wasn't even their draft pick. And Kamal Haddon got active on game days prior to Kalen King getting active. Here's the thing. I like that Derek Ansley has been bullish on Kalen King in his press conference earlier this offseason. I do think that there's something there. I just think that the excitement from fans is just a little bit too far. And right now, I think he's the sixth best corner on this team, not including Javon Bullard. That you have your three starters, and I would take both Kamal Haddon and Micah Robinson over Kalen King. Possibly he still makes it. Possible he makes that jump. But right now, I don't see anything there. And I think if you see him actually on the field, you should probably be very nervous more than you should be excited at this point in time. Underrated, I'm going Javon Bullard. Plus 0.55 grade for me this past year. He was in the positive. PFF hated him in coverage. Not hated, but they really disliked him in coverage. They also liked, though, his tackling and his run defense. I just think that this is a player that got a lot put on his plate as a rookie, as both a safety and as a slot corner. I think it was probably a little bit too much. I still think he's a very talented football player whose best football is ahead of him. He has great attention to detail. He cares about his craft a ton. He's height, weight, speed guy and was really good at Georgia. I just think he's going to figure it out. I'm betting on that guy. He's too talented not to figure it out. And he's a really smart player. So the coverage needs to be better. I don't think, and I've said this all along, I don't think slot is really the right position for him, but he's a bit in no man's land because at safety, you've got Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney that are just ahead of him. Plus Ketan Oladapo is knocking on the door as well. So he's in an interesting spot, but I still think he's being underrated. And I still think he's going to be a really good player for this Packers defense. Overrated? I'm going Daniel Whalen. Daniel Whalen, when he's looking good, looks amazing. Like his OTAs, training camps, and minicamp these past 2 years have looked unbelievable. Starting the season, he's looked really good, but he was really inconsistent in the second half of last year. And that's just one of those positions you can't have inconsistency. You've got to be able to be counted upon when you're needed. And I like him as a holder. I think when he looks good, he looks really freaking good. But there's just been that level of like, especially the second half of last year, you didn't know what you were going to get on any given punt. And I just need to see a little bit more consistency there from Daniel Whalen. And last but not least, underrated, Matt LaFleur. I don't want to hear it. He's a top 10 coach in the NFL. And I don't think there's any debate about that. I don't want to hear any debate about that. And where you're at within that top 10, whether it's, you know, 5 or 10 or anything in between, your mileage may vary and you can make an argument for that. But if people are not putting him in their top 10 for head coach in the NFL, I think that's a big mistake. All he's done is win. Does he need to get that championship and that ring on his finger and that trophy back to Green Bay in order to be put in that upper echelon? Sure, I understand that. But to me, very good coach. And there are very few, very, very few that I'd rather have coaching this particular Green Bay Packers team. I think he's the right man for the job and clearly a top 10 coach in the NFL. My list of underrated and overrated. Underrated, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Aaron Banks, Jordan Morgan, Rashid Walker and Sean Ryan, Rashawn Gary, LVN, Edgerrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper, the trio of corners, Javon Bullard, and Matt LaFleur. My overrated, Malik Heath, Mecole Hardman, Zach Tom, Kingsley Enagbare, Devontae Wyatt, Isaiah Simmons, Kalen King, and Daniel Whalen. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Jake Conner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle, Stinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, Pack Attack Cast, and Chris Weish. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.